Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Proverbs 22:9. Hi, I'm Rob West. Do you have a bountiful eye, meaning you look for opportunities to bless others, especially the poor? Kelly Miller joins us today to talk about a way you can help the poor around the world, but not just help, to also transform their lives. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Kelly Miller to the program for the first time. He's president and CEO of Cross International, a brand new underwriter of this program. And Kelly, it is great to have you with us.
Hey, Rob, it's great to be with you and all the listeners of Faith and Finance. It's a joy and a pleasure for us to partner with you.
Well, thank you. We're honored as well. Cross International is an amazing operation that is truly transforming the lives of thousands of poor individuals and families around the world. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment with Kelly. But first, Kelly, tell us about the challenges that you're seeing around the globe.
Sure. Well, thanks. I mean, there are many, as you can imagine. And we serve in over a dozen low-income countries around the globe. But we really focus on highlighting the critical needs like access to enough food, safe water, and you know, other resources that to help lift impoverished communities. And just as a way of looking at one snapshot of just food in general, and the lack of access to food. You know, today, here we are, 2025. Every day, over 800 million people still go hungry. Amazing
wow.
to hear that.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, over 50% of child deaths are linked to hunger issues. And then you have the old clean waters and safe water. Over 700 million people every day lack access to safe and clean water. So, you know, there's still a lot of work to do out there in terms of meeting both the physical and the spiritual needs for folks around the globe.
It's hard to wrap your head around those numbers, but the need is, of course, massive. Kelly, give us a sense of the global scope of Cross International for those who are not familiar with the ministry.
Sure. Well, again, thank you for that. Cross began in 2001, so here we are in our, 24th year.
Wow.
And God's called us to serve in over a dozen countries, primarily in Latin America, and in the eastern and southern regions in Africa. And what a privilege it is, as we were talking before, we get up every day and say, look what we get to do.
Yeah.
And so with that, our mission is really meeting the critical needs of impoverished children and families and communities. And we partner with local Christian ministries to do that. So that our vision, hopefully, can, at the end of the day, that those vulnerable children and families and communities, they're transformed through Christ's love.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that transformation through Christ's love is where I want to go next. You're, of course, a humanitarian and development organization, but it's more than just providing food and shelter, and those things are critical. You all go beyond that. Tell us more.
Yeah, so much more, and thank you for asking. You know, we look at the world through the eyes of a child. We call it our Thriving Kids Initiative. And if I could real briefly tell you the story of a young man, his American name is Kenny, lives in very rural Malawi. And Kenny grew up in an incredibly impoverished community. And Cross, we step in with a local partner to provide schooling for young children like Kenny. And their only meal of the day, if you can believe that. They really don't get, but we provide that nutritious meal of the day. And Kenny is now a late teenager, and he's been with us for the last number of years in our work there. And through that intervention, that daily meal, that daily fellowship time for these kids, the tutoring, the growth in their ability to learn. Kenny's now moved to university in a larger town in Malawi, and his hope is that he'll be able to come back to his village area, start a small business, and help others around him. That's just a brief snapshot of how Cross intervenes in the lives of children and families and communities to help them for the long run.
It's incredible. We're about out of time. How can our listeners be a part of this?
Well, I'll tell you, in immense ways, for every $62, just $62 provides a child with life-saving resources like food and that safe water, and especially that knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ. In places like Malawi and Zambia and Uganda and all the countries where we work, and so it's $62 a child.
Excellent. Folks, we want you to consider being a Thriving Kids Ambassador as a giving partner. It's easy to do. crossinternational.org/faith. That's crossinternational.org/faith. Every gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Kelly, thanks for stopping by.
You bet, Rob. Thanks so much.
All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back after this break.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Some questions have the power to change your life forever, depending on your answer. Questions like, will you marry me? Or, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty? Or how about this one? Who do you say I am? That's the question Jesus asked his disciples. They'd watched him ministering to thousands, performing miracles of healing, feeding thousands by multiplying a few loaves of bread and fish. There was only one right answer, and Peter was the one who spoke up. He said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that I am?" That's the question from Jesus that each one of us must also answer. You'll see Jesus more clearly through daily time in God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is Jan Markell. Next on Understanding the Times Radio, I talk to Amir Sarfati, Israeli Bible teacher. Israel is still the key to Bible prophecy. How do events of today forecast things prophesied for tomorrow? Learn how current events foreshadow things to come. Next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, what a treat to have my friend Kelly Miller here today as we talk about this incredible work that's being done by Cross International. Again, if you'd like to learn more, we always love promoting opportunities to be generous with God's resources, especially when we're supporting things that are on the heart of God. And clearly, this would be one of those. You know, as I look at the Council of Scripture, we see some clear areas that we should be giving to that are most definitely on the heart of God. I mean, we see the poor and oppressed as absolutely one of those. God has special concern for the poor and vulnerable. You know, we're called to care for orphans and widows and the hungry and the sick and others in need. I would point you to James 1:27 and Matthew 25:34-40. You know, when we give to those who are suffering or marginalized, I think
We reflect God's heart for justice and mercy, and clearly providing a child with life-saving resources like food and safe water and spiritual development for up to a year in Malawi and Zambia and Uganda and other countries is absolutely right in line with what we're talking about. $124 helps two children, 310, five children, 620, 10 children, and you can multiply your impact even further when you become a monthly giving partner. It's quick and easy to do. Again, crossinternational.org/faith. That's crossinternational.org/faith for you to learn more. And we'll be talking about Cross here over the next few months as we highlight a different ministry each quarter here on Faith and Finance. We want to take your questions today. We're looking forward to diving into whatever's on your mind when you call 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today, and we're looking forward to being invited into your story today so I can hopefully provide some wise counsel. Certainly, we'll look to God's Word as our goal, if you will, our basis for everything that we do here on this program. Let's begin today in Illinois. Wanda, go right ahead. Hi, Wanda. Okay, you're next on the program. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that first part. Try again. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi. So good morning, and thank you for taking my call. So my question is a tax question. So I'm still legally married. My husband left me about 3.5 years ago. So my question is, do I still have to keep filing married, filing joint? We do not live together, have not lived together in over 3.5 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. You have options here, and I would default to your tax preparer for what you ultimately want to do. But let me just talk at a high level as to your filing status. You know, you have the option to file married filing separately. That would probably be the default option because if you're still legally married, unless you qualify as head of household, then you would typically file married filing separately. So each spouse would report their own income and deductions, and you're responsible for your own tax liability, not your spouse's. Now, the downside of that is you may lose some tax benefits in the process, the earned income tax credit, any education tax credits, some retirement tax advantages, and then both spouses either itemize or take the standard deductions or take the standard deduction. You can't mix them. And this would be best if you're protecting yourself from your spouse's tax issues so you're not taking liability. And if you want financial separation, but you don't qualify for head of household. Now, that would be the second option, but you would have to meet the requirements that you've lived apart from your spouse for at least 6 months of the year, that you've paid more than 50% of the cost of keeping your home during the year, and you have a qualifying dependent living with you for at least half the year. And then if you did, then you'd get lower tax rates than married filing separately, a higher standard deduction, more tax credits available. The third option would be, you know, you still filing married filing jointly, you know, so long as you're comfortable doing that, because in that case, you would have a shared liability. You're both responsible for any errors or audits or unpaid taxes. And so if you're on good terms and trust each other financially and want those better tax benefits and you agree to file together and neither of you has remarried, then you still have that option of married filing jointly. And there would be some tax benefits to doing that.
Okay. Well, I do have my daughter, our youngest daughter that still lives with me. She's 21. I mean, she's, I can't claim her because she works about 25, you know, 30 hours a week, but I mean, she will qualify me for head of household because I do support us and our household.
Okay. So, yeah. Go ahead.
And I mean, I would just, you know, I would rather file that. I want to do the right thing. I don't want to, you know, get in trouble with the IRS. And I certainly don't want to get in trouble with the Lord either. I want to do things correct. You know what
yes.
I mean?
I do. Absolutely. And I appreciate that. And we certainly want to help you honor the Lord and do everything above board with regard to the IRS. And the bottom line is the IRS gives you options, and it's very clear what you will qualify for and what you won't. And if you, meet the dependency requirements for your child, and, you know, the age requirements, so the child would have to be for a qualifying dependent to claim head of household. It would have to be either a child, a stepchild, and so forth. And then they'd have to be either under 19 at the end of the tax year or under age 24 if they're a full-time student. Or any age if they're permanently or totally disabled. So you'd have to meet that. Then there's a residency requirement. They have to live with you for more than half the year. And then there's a financial support requirement. You have to have paid more than 50% of household expenses, and they can't have provided more than 50% of their own financial support. And then your child must be your dependent for tax purposes. And if you're separated, like in this case, you have to have primary custody, even if the other parent claims the child for the child tax credit. So I would check with your CPA on that just to make sure that your situation does qualify, particularly, you know, whether or not this is your dependent. But you have the option to, you know, either married file jointly if you all are comfortable with that. Otherwise, married filing separately or head of household would be the better option if you qualify.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, Rob. I appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you for calling, Wanda. I appreciate you being on the program today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. After this break, we're going to be headed to Kansas to talk with Brenda. Brenda inherited a traditional IRA in 2017, so she would be before the new Secure Act rules. She's wanting to know how quickly she needs to have that money dispersed. And then we'll head to Florida and Minnesota. We still have a lot more to go here on the program today. Before we head to this first break, in the news today, some interesting data out around millennials and retirement. Millennials are experiencing significant financial growth, with median wealth for younger millennials and older Gen Zers more than quadrupling in recent years. The number of millennials with seven-figure retirement accounts has surged, and their collective net worth has risen to nearly $16 trillion because of the market. And despite these financial gains, traditional retirement is no longer the primary goal for many of these. Instead of planning to stop working entirely, they're prioritizing financial flexibility and an active lifestyle. I'll give you the rest of the details on this really interesting report related to retirement and millennials, plus more questions just around the corner. Stay with us on Faith and Finance.
When you see trash in the media, submit it to 1millionmoms.com. Over the years, 1 million moms and our partners have improved advertising choices of programmers and content seen on TV. Just like you, 1 million moms want to protect little eyes and ears from the trash that could hurt them. So when you see trash in the media, visit 1millionmoms.com. Scroll down and look for the Submit Trash button.
Take it away!
1millionmoms.com.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, Visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We're going to head back to the phones here in just a second. But before the break, I was sharing that millennials are experiencing significant financial growth. That's right. Their collective net worth has risen to nearly $16 trillion because of market gains. And that's perhaps affecting not only that, but just some of the things we're seeing with this generation, how they're thinking about retirement. Instead of planning to stop working entirely, many millennials are prioritizing financial flexibility and an active lifestyle. A 2024 Edelman Financial Engines report found that 37% want a retirement different from previous generations, and 32% expect they'll never fully retire. Economic shifts, including the decline of pensions and rising financial obligations like student loans and mortgages and child care, have reshaped retirement expectations. And with increased earnings and wealth, millennials still feel financial pressure, and many are navigating multiple priorities at once, making retirement less about quitting work and more about having the freedom to choose meaningful work later in life. For them, retirement today is about flexibility rather than an end to work altogether. And I kind of like the direction that's headed. In fact, I'll talk a little bit more later in the broadcast here today about a biblical worldview of retirement and how we should think about that as Christ followers. In the meantime, let's head back to the phones. Brenda is in Kansas. Brenda, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hi there.
I inherited a traditional IRA from my mother when she passed away in 2017. And we've had conflicting opinions as to whether this needs to be dispersed in 10 years or not.
Yeah. Well, because this was inherited under in 2017, it falls under the Pre-Secure Act rules, which means that the distribution requirement timeline depends on whether the original owner, your mom, had already started taking required minimum distributions or not. Do you know?
No, I'm not sure about that. I think so, because when we inherited, I had to start doing RMDs then, too.
Okay. What was her age at the time?
83.
Okay, yeah. So she would have been taking RMDs.
Yeah, yeah.
So if so, and that's the case here, then you have to keep taking those RMDs each year, at least at the rate the original owner was taking them, using the longer of either your own life expectancy or the original owner's remaining life expectancy, if longer, which it wouldn't be in this particular case. So the 10-year rule does not apply. And so as long as you started taking RMDs annually, which it sounds like you did since 2017, then you can continue to do so over your lifetime. And that's called the stretch IRA method. That's no longer available, but because you inherited this in 2017, as long as you're taking out at least what she was taking out, and you know, then you have the ability to stretch it out over your lifetime.
Oh, thank you. Is there any way we can donate this? I know I can't donate the RMD until I'm 70 and a half, and I'm 67.
Right.
But
yeah, so a qualified charitable distribution is possible from an inherited IRA, but you're right. You do have to get to 70 and a half. It's going to be a wonderful tool when you get to that point. Because you'll be able to get that money out, satisfy the required minimum, and not recognize it as income, which means you can get more into the kingdom through your giving. There is no other way to do that prior to age 70 and a half. It requires that you first take the distribution, which recognizes it as income, and then when you give it away, as long as you itemize, you could then count that as a charitable contribution to offset some taxes, but there's not any way to do it before it comes out, which would require that it gets recognized as income prior to age 70 and a half.
Okay, great. Okay. That's the answer we wanted to hear.
Well, great, Brenda. Thank you for calling today. May God bless you. We appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We still have a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Minnesota. Matthew, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, my question is in regard to direct indexing tax harvesting investment accounts. I've got a financial advisor that is wanting me to shift a lot of my investments over into that category of investing. And he did his best to educate me on how that account works, but I still can't wrap my mind around how I can sell a stock at a loss and still have stock increase in value.
Yeah. Well, so let's start with the what is tax loss harvesting, and then we'll talk about how that applies to direct indexing, which is a relatively new phenomenon that's gaining in popularity in part because you can do tax loss harvesting. So tax loss harvesting is a strategy where you sell investments at a loss to offset taxes on capital gains or other income. So it helps to reduce your overall tax bill. Now, of course, we're talking about a non-retirement account here, a taxable account. And then you can, keep your portfolio invested. So basically, you would first of all sell a losing investment. So if you own a stock or an ETF or a mutual fund that's dropped in value, you sell it as a loss. The loss then offsets the capital gains from other investments that were sold at a profit. If the losses are greater than the gains, you can offset up to $3,000 of ordinary income per year, $1,500 if you're filing separately or single, and then any unused losses carry forward to future years. And then you reinvest the money into a similar, but not substantially identical investment to keep your portfolio balanced. You can't rebuy the same investment within 30 days because of an IRS rule. So it's really just a tax strategy that allows you to essentially leverage that loss and then stay invested. Now, direct indexing relates to that because it allows you to mimic buying an index, but by buying the individual investments that make up the index, and because you own the individual investments, you can do tax loss harvesting, which you can't otherwise. Stay on the line. We'll pick this up after the break.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
You know, most news outlets today don't just deliver information. They try to make us believe wrong is right and evil is good. Not American Family News. You know you'll get accurate information from a Christian perspective because, let's face it, God's Word is the real measure of truth and morality. Any impact on us and our families won't be hidden. Get your news from the source more and more people are choosing as their go-to. American Family News, on the air and online at afn.net.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. choose your own provider, and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
At Wesley Biblical Seminary, we believe God is raising up a movement across our nation and around the world who hold fast to the inerrancy of Scripture and the hope of holiness. We do this through bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, certificate programs, and even training for lay people. So whatever your next step is in being equipped for ministry, we're here for you. And if you believe these are the kind of pastors we need leading churches in the future, we invite you to think about giving to Wesley Biblical Seminary. Learn more about us at wbs.edu.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before the break, we were talking to Matthew in Minnesota. His advisor is suggesting he move his portfolio to direct indexing for what he's calling tax loss harvesting. And I was explaining before the break, Matthew, what tax loss harvesting is, the opportunity to turn investment losses into tax savings while keeping your portfolio invested by reinvesting after you recognize the loss in something that's substantially similar to keep the portfolio diversification and strategy intact, even though you have to honor the IRS rules by not buying the exact same investment within 30 days. Now, how does that relate to direct indexing? Well, this is a relatively new strategy that I'm pretty high on for a variety of reasons, where you buy individual stocks that mimic an index. So the one most people are familiar with would be the S&P 500. So rather than buying the S&P 500 as a single investment through an ETF or a mutual fund, you buy essentially the individual stocks, leveraging technology to do it, in maybe even fractional shares, to essentially mimic the S&P 500, but where you own a very small percentage of the actual companies that make up the S&P 500. And because you own them individually, you now have the opportunity to, you know, do the tax loss harvesting as you want to sell the, you know, losers and keep the winners. And that allows you to, you know, take advantage of some tax benefits. There's also tax benefits in terms of how you can do giving with direct indexing, because you could give away, you know, a particular investment that's done really well, which you wouldn't have that opportunity with the index if you bought the ETF, let's say. And the third thing, which I think is really key, is a lot of people are using direct indexing for faith-based investing, because what they're saying is, wait a minute, I want to own something very close to the S&P 500, but there's some companies in the S&P 500 that don't align with my values. Well, direct indexing says you can own substantially the S&P 500, but kick out the ones where you don't agree with the kind of business they're in. And so I think for all of those reasons, that's why a lot of advisors are beginning to use this, because there's technology now available to allow them to do it, even on much smaller accounts, which was previously not available. Does that make sense, though?
Yeah. Yep, it does.
Okay, good.
One gray area that I do kind of still have is it more or less a strategy that is kicking the can down the road as far as paying income tax? I mean, eventually we're going to have to realize some income. out of that account, are we not?
Well, yeah. So remember, because this is not an IRA, you're not going to pay, you know, recognize it as income when it comes out as a distribution. Instead, with a taxable account, this is after-tax money that's in the account. So what we're talking about is capital gains, which is you recognizing a capital gain on the sale of investments that are sold at a profit. And what this is doing is eliminating either in part or in full those gains by selling those that are losers and then rebuying something that's similar. So it's really not just kicking the can down the road like you might have with a, you know, a 1031 exchange on a piece of property where at some point you're going to pay the capital gain. In this case, you know, the tax bill could be offset through those, you know, investments in most cases. Does that make sense?
Yes. And growth from these accounts would mimic the account that I am currently in, I would imagine.
That's right. Yeah. So the idea would be that typically, and it depends on the strategy here, but typically, you know, the advisor could either wait the 30 days and rebuy the same investment or just buy something similar. Maybe it's in the similar category of large cap growth or value or income or whatever it might be. And then, you know, you have that opportunity to essentially replace that, not with the exact company, but something perhaps in the same sector.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that helps you, my friend. I know this can get pretty complicated, but it sounds like you've got some good counsel there, and we appreciate you checking in with us today. Lord bless you. Let's see. We're going to head to Florida and welcome Lewis. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm a pastor of a church in North Florida, and over a couple of years ago, I had a couple that were members of my church. And one developed cancer, and he was not going to live very long. And, of course, his wife passed on about 6 months later or something like that. This is over a period of 3 years ago. And they had asked me for recommendation or counsel about a will or trust, and all I did is relate them to do something and remained close to them as they process and professionally sought having a will and a trust made. Okay, in this particular situation, and they both passed away, they left most of their income to the general church. Now, they left a tithe of what they had left to be given to the local church, which they were members of, and we received that part. But there remains a pretty good amount of money yet in that trust fund or will, however you label it, something like between $300,000 and $400,000. And anyways, over this period of 2 years now that everything is, they have been passed on, nothing has been done to release that money to go where it's supposed to go, to the general denomination church. There was two administrators. One was a member of my church. He did his part. And there was another one, which was it was a member of the deceased couple. It was the wife's sister, and she's the one that has the ball in her court at this point. And I've tried my best to stay out of it, other than in my counsel and my relationship with a couple of the deceased, I told them I would, you know, help them. So anyways, yeah. that money has not been released, and I'm just concerned about it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Lewis. I mean, normally what would happen is the member's will would go through the probate process, which is overseen by a court, unless there was a trust. But if it was a will, that would be the case. And then the executor or the personal representative of the estate would be responsible for carrying out the wishes in the will, including transferring funds to designated beneficiaries. So the church or denomination in this case may need to be notified of the bequest and then provide the necessary documentation to claim the funds. And then once probate's wrapped up, which by now it should be, you know, and all the legal requirements are met, the executor really needs to transfer that to the denomination as specified in the will. So I think your opportunity might be to inform the denomination's financial office about the bequest and then let them handle the process of claiming the funds, because, you know, all that would need to be, you know, documented for transparency and legal compliance and so forth. But they would be the ones to do that.
Okay. I didn't know what angle to proceed. And you've been very helpful, and I thank you. And by the way, I am a member of AFA, so...
Oh, I'm so thrilled to hear that. That's great.
I appreciate their ministry. It's great.
Well, American Family Association is incredible. It's an honor to be an extended part of the AFA family here with Faith and Finance each day. Thanks for saying that, Lewis. I'm thrilled to hear that. Well, folks, we've got one more segment. I'll share my thoughts on a biblical worldview of retirement. Plus, we'll take some more questions. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're grateful to have you along with us today. Let's head back to the phones. Ohio is where we're going next. Hi, Edward. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, Rob.
Hi.
Can you hear me, Rob?
I sure can. Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you for your program and all the wisdom that you provide to so many every day. We really appreciate that.
Well, that's very kind. Thank you.
My question is whether I should consider purchasing a long-term care insurance policy, Rob.
You certainly could look at it. I think the key is just always affordability. And, you know, if there's no question that, you know, this is probably your biggest risk in this season of life. 70% of Americans age 65 and older will need some form of long-term care. I think on average it ends up being like somewhere between 2 and 3 years. And it can run $10,000 a month if you need, full nursing care. And so, you know, the impact to your assets, you know, is real. If you have under $200,000 in investable assets, net worth, I'd probably say don't worry about it. Just rely on, you know, Medicaid. Over $2 million, you could self-insure. But the majority of people find themselves in that middle gap where, you know, there is something to be said about having long-term care insurance. But it's very expensive. So, for example, a 75-year-old would be, you know, female might pay $12,000 annually for a policy with, you know, $165,000 in initial benefits. And so you'd need to be in relatively good health to qualify at age 77. Many insurers reject, you know, about half of the applicants at age 75 and older. But there are options out there, so long as you could afford it. And it's not only just given the affordability right now, but it's the ability to, you know, absorb those premium increases in the future. They can't do it individually with just your policy versus another. They have to do it across the board, but they do. And they've been significant just because of the rising cost of healthcare. So I think, you know, would it be great to offset that risk and have, you know, that you have a daily benefit that you could put toward, you know, in-home care or nursing care or, you know, home health or something like that? Sure. And I'd love for you to have an inflation rider and, you know, and make sure you look at the waiting period and some of those things. But I would want to make sure that it doesn't create a financial hardship for you now or in the future. And if it does, it might just be, you know, might be better served just to take that money and just continue to sock it away and kind of build up your nest egg there. Does that make sense, though?
It does, Rob. And I looked into it a bit, and it looks as though I could get something that would provide about $5,000 per month in coverage, but that would cost probably about $600 a month to secure that. So $5,000 a month, if you know the average cost today is approaching $10,000, and understanding that it would probably increase appreciably over the years, that the $5,000 a month doesn't seem to be all that much for what I would be paying for it each month over the years to come.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's kind of my dilemma.
Yeah.
If that is maybe the best I can get at this point in time in my life, I'm not sure that really makes a lot of sense. I don't know, and I wanted to seek your advice on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's right. I mean, that's on the low end, but it seems like maybe the coverage is a little lesser. I mean, at 77, I would expect premiums to be somewhere between $8,000 and $15,000 a year, you know, for a policy that's going to give you the features that you want. But here's the reality. I mean, just having something to offset the expense would be nice because, as I said, it could be $100,000 a year for nursing home. It could be $50,000 a year, you know, for home health. And without insurance, you know, 100% of that's going to be out of pocket. So that gives you more options and some independence, relieves the family burden. And so that, you know, I think that could be a great tool for you. And again, even if it doesn't cover 100% of everything you're looking for, you know, it's going to help to shoulder that burden somewhat. The other thing you could do would be to look at, you know, a hybrid with a life insurance policy that provides a little bit of a death benefit, or you could do a return of premium so that, you know, you get some back if it's not used. You can do annuities with long-term care insurance riders. I mean, there are other ways to go, but I would say if you're relatively healthy and you can afford the premiums, you know, having that policy to shoulder some of these expenses in this season of life, I think could be a real blessing to you down the road.
Would you be in a position to recommend any companies that I might go to with those kinds of questions?
Yeah, you know, I don't have any specifics to recommend. It does change, and it does vary based on your health status. Some companies look more favorably on one health issue versus another. So what I would recommend is you connect with an insurance agent who specializes in long-term care, who really knows the landscape. You want to be with, you know, one of the top five players in this space that's committed to this space, that, you know, prices their policies appropriately, and that's going to look favorably on kind of any health issues you have, even minor ones. And having an insurance agent who knows the landscape is really important. So if you don't have someone, I'd reach out to a certified Kingdom advisor there in Ohio on our website, faithfi.com, and just ask for a referral to a long-term care insurance agent who represents, who's not captive with one company, but really represents all of the big players.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you, Rob. I don't want to take any more of your time. I'm sure some other folks would like to get into you this morning. So that's been very helpful, and I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Edward. Thanks for calling. Call anytime. Let's go to Oklahoma. Hi, John. How can I help?
Yes, sir. I really enjoy your program. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thank you.
Sure. I am 64. My wife is 61. We recently got married. We're buying a home. We're putting down the earnest money down today, but it's for $230,000. And at our age, whatever the mortgage company we're going through, I don't understand how he's not really saying anything about putting anything toward interest, or he hadn't said like a down payment or anything. And I'm just really kind of need some guidance. What would you, we have some money saved up, between the two of us probably have like 300,000. This home is 230,000 plus your closing costs, interest rate of like 6.75. But what would you recommend, sir?
Yeah, no problem. Are you getting a 30-year mortgage?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, sir. And that's so you're putting the deposit down on the home. And then what are the other terms? How far off is the closing?
The closing will be within 30 days, 45 days, I think.
Okay. All right. And you've already selected the lender?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And did you get a couple of options, or did you just go with who the realtor suggested?
The realtor, where we go to church, the realtor, we all go to the same church, and she recommended this man. It seems like a very good Christian man. So, we've both been away from that area for some time. So we wanted to, didn't know who to go with, but,
And is he an independent mortgage broker representing lots of companies, or is he just captive with one company?
I would think independent, but I really don't know, Rob.
Okay.
And also, I was going to say I'm 100% service connected. So with my what I received from the VA and my Social Security, I'm drawing about $5,650 or something a month. So what do I do? What would you recommend?
And do you have what do you have available to put down?
Well, what I'm saying, I've got a CD, but it's locked in for probably two more months, or it's $50,000. But I've got probably in one savings account, I have like it's a money market, so it draws a little bit of interest. I've got probably about $205,000 in that, and then she has probably right about $90,000 in the savings account.
Okay. All right. Well, I would put down a good bit. I mean, at a minimum, I'd put about $50,000 down, which would be about 20% of this purchase. That's just going to get the monthly expense down. I mean, you're going to get for every dollar you put that you don't have to borrow, that's equal to a guaranteed, 6.75% return, which you're not going to get in a CD. You're not going to get in the bank. You're not going to get that guaranteed in the stock market. So I think it's 2-year benefit to balance this idea of let's avoid paying 6.75% on our money when we don't have to. But on the other end of that is let's not use all of our liquid reserves. So it's all, not tied up in the house. And so I think we need to find kind of a happy middle there. But your ability to put a meaningful amount down to save that interest and keep that payment low just so it fits nicely into your budget, as you guys are starting out in your new marriage and living on a fixed income with plenty of resources. But, I think that's probably the key. So I wouldn't wait for his lead. I would decide between the two of you how much you want to put down and then go ahead and do it and just let him know. And in fact, if you're putting down a bunch, I'd see if you could get a little better interest rate on that. And I would prefer that you get 2 to 3 bids from 2 to 3 lenders before you landed on this. I mean, this is, one of the biggest transactions you'll have in your life. And I think having multiple offers from a couple of different companies competing against one another is never a bad idea. Does that make sense, though?
Okay. Yes, sir. It does. So much so.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. One option would be you could check with our friends at Movement Mortgage, which is a Christian mortgage company. You go to movement.com/faith, or you could just work through this individual and tell him, hey, can we get a couple of other options in here just to consider? And then I think the two of you, you and your new bride, you all sit down and think and pray through how much do we want to put toward the house? Because again, there's meaningful savings there in the saved interest, and it just keeps your lifestyle in check so you don't have this big monthly payment every month that you have to try to absorb in your spending plan. John, I hope that helps. Congrats on your new marriage, sir, and thanks for calling today. Folks, we didn't get to a biblical worldview of retirement. I will share that tomorrow. Big thanks to my team today, Devin, Sandy, Taylor. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.